Welcome to A World of Good podcast. I am your host, Andrew Gale, here with Joshua Wieger for another one of our reflection episodes. Joshua, thanks so much for joining us for these episodes.
Hey, thanks, man. It's good to be here. Andrew, I'm looking at your bookshelf as we're in your living room. And
one of my bookshelves.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You digest so many books in a year.
I haven't read all of those books.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There is a shelf there that is books that I got from my wife. Did a really sweet thing and had people give me like a book that's been meaningful for them for my 40th birthday. Mm. And I am working my way through those books this year. And I think about a little over halfway through those books. And so, yes, I love reading. I love learning. It's just a part of my life. One of a few different bookshelves here of all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of reading and learning, here we go, man.
Like, I know.
We're back to another episode of reflection episode from what we've learned in the past.
Absolutely. So these reflection episodes, as Joshua was just saying, are content that we think is really important, worth hearing again, shared in an earlier episode from sometime in the last 8 seasons. And so, yeah, we want you to join us for season 9 as we kind of look back on some of these episodes. So today's episode is an interview that I did with Pastor Emmanuel Masamba. He is a leader for the Church of God in Malawi. So this was actually part of season 6, recorded October 2022, but I actually traveled over to Tanzania. It was recorded in Tanzania, not in Malawi, because I went over to Tanzania for the All Africa Assembly meeting with some leaders from across Africa, and Emmanuel was there as a part of this. And I, literally as soon as I saw him, I said, Emmanuel, before we leave, I want to get a podcast with you. And I think we even talked about it at the very beginning of the episode, but we were so exhausted. We're like, not now, but we will do it. And so we finally got to sit down and just talk about Malawi, the country, the church, colonialism, all these different pieces that are really, really fantastic to learn, and just really grateful that Pastor Emmanuel gave us time to learn about his country.
I'm so glad you took the opportunity to record with him. But Andrew, help me understand. So context, you're in Tanzania.
Correct.
And he came from Malawi, which is another country on the continent of Africa.
Yeah.
How far, do you know how far he traveled?
I don't know how far he traveled. I know that what was really startling to us is I traveled from the U.S., and the amount of time from the time I arrived at the airport to the time I got to Tanzania was shorter than some people who traveled from Africa, continent. So I think one of our leaders that came from Zambia was one that had to fly through Ethiopia, and with layovers and all that, she actually took her longer to get to Tanzania than I did from the U.S.
She was already on the continent.
She was already on the continent. And so it's, yeah, Africa, one, Africa's huge.
Africa is huge, yep.
And two, you know, travel in Africa just takes time. And so, yeah, I don't know what his travel, I can't remember what his travel was like to get there, but a lot of them sacrificed to make that happen.
And having all of those leaders in one place, I mean, that's a huge deal and a huge undertaking. And I know that your time there, so I'm so thankful you took time in the midst of that context to record this podcast.
Yeah, we were really grateful. We did this in conjunction with the Children of Promise meeting that was happening, which allowed us to work together to make this happen for a lot of African leaders, which was fantastic.
Super.
So one of the things we talk about in this is a recent, at the time that it was recorded, a recent issue that had happened in Malawi, some flooding that actually disconnected a part of Malawi from the rest of it because of these floods. And Emmanuel talks about how his church supported these communities during this difficult time. And as I was reflecting on this episode, I thought, we still deal with this so much right now in Africa. Yes. I mean, and specifically in that part, in kind of southeastern Africa, Zambia, Zimbabwe, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Malawi are all continuing to deal with these kind of cycles of drought and flood. Mm-hmm. And the church is trying to figure out how to be a light in the midst of that.
Yeah. And I mean, the flood and the drought cycle is terrible and hard to deal with because of crops, because of the way that land moves and landslides even. But then throw in conflict in those regions because of scarcity of resources. And I mean, it is constant. It really is.
And we talk about, you know, the work that Michaela Urban has done for us with disaster relief. You know, one of the issues she brought up is the reality that there's what's called coping capacity in a lot of these countries. And in the U.S., we may have disasters that are as complicated as ones that are experienced in these parts of southeastern Africa. But But our coping capacity is very different than a community who relies on farming that has their entire crop wiped out.
That's right.
That is a very different reality than what we have to deal with. And so a lot of these places aren't just dealing with this violent swing from drought to flood, but are also losing crops and are already living at a place where coping capacity is really complicated.
Yeah, yeah. And how, so then how do we as a church so far away walk with those churches in those spaces, not just in the short term, because there definitely is short-term relief needed, but on a longer term, equipping the church to be the hands and feet of Christ in those in those situations.
I was going to say, that's one of the reasons I think it's so fantastic what we get to do, which is just walking with the church. That, again, Michaela Urban talks about this. Lots of humanitarian organizations go in to help, and they can help for a certain period of time, but eventually they leave. Our churches don't. So the churches that we're equipping are churches that have been there before a disaster happens, that are there while it happens, and as you hear from Pastor Emmanuel, are there afterwards to continue to support and love and care for these communities. And that is a gift that we don't have control over, but we get to partner with churches that are making that impact on the ground.
What such an important conversation for today's world, where we see this happening around the world.
Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoy this episode with Pastor Emmanuel Masamba of Malawi, that was recorded in Tanzania, just about the Church of God in Malawi and how they're supporting their community. I'm so excited to be joined by Emmanuel Masamba, who is the national leader for the Church of God in Malawi. Emmanuel, thanks so much for chatting with me this evening.
Welcome, my pleasure.
Yes, I'm so glad that when you first got here, we were both very exhausted. And I said, I want to talk to you, but not today. But I'm grateful we're able to do it now.
Wonderful.
We're a little bit rested now.
Yep.
So I have a lot that we want to talk to you about what's been going on in Malawi. But before we kind of jump into the work that the church is doing and some of the challenges you've been facing, especially with flooding, I want to start by asking, you know, for those who may not know, where is Malawi? Like, we sometimes hear these countries and we go, oh man, I think I know where that is. But tell us, where is Malawi located in Africa?
Thank you very much. Malawi is located in the southern part of Africa, more especially the southeastern part of Africa.
Okay.
It is surrounded by Tanzania to the north, Mozambique to the east and south,
okay,
and Zambia to the west.
Okay. Is Malawi get to the coast? Is there any coastal, or is it all in?
It's a landlocked.
Okay.
Yes. We have Mozambique that is near Indian Ocean.
Okay, yes.
And then you find Malawi.
Yes, wonderful.
Yeah. So if you find Tanzania, then you can find Malawi.
There we go.
Because Tanzania
just go south.
Is found to the south. That's right.
And in Malawi, what language is spoken there?
The major language is what we call Chichewa.
Chichewa.
Of course, there are other minor languages there from different tribes.
Yep.
But the major one is Chichewa.
Chichewa. Okay.
Yes.
And for those who are maybe interested now about this country of Malawi, what's something unique you can share with us about your country?
Thank you very much. Malawi is known by its freshwater lake.
Oh.
We call it Lake Malawi. Where there is a rare species of fish, which is called chambo.
Chambo.
Yeah, when you get to Malawi, if you don't taste chambo, if you don't eat chambo fish, that means you are not in Malawi.
Oh, you've missed out.
In Malawi, yes.
Okay, so I'll have to try it sometime when I get there.
Exactly. And we have the river, which is longest from Lake Malawi all the way to Mozambique, joining Zambezi then to Indian Ocean.
Oh, wow.
And we have good scenery.
Okay.
We have different national parks with wildlife. Even if you want a safari,
oh wow,
you're most welcome. You enjoy it.
That's very cool.
Sure,
that's very cool.
Yeah.
So now
people are friendly.
Yes, I found that to be true across Africa. But that's wonderful.
We love visitors.
Well, we'll have to. If you're listening to this podcast and you want to go to Malawi, get a hold of me and I'll give you Emmanuel's email address and you can ask him about coming and visiting.
Most welcome, and you'll not regret.
So tell us about the Church of God in Malawi. You're in charge of the Church of God in Malawi. How many churches are there? Where is it located? Give us some of that information.
Church of God in Malawi is growing. Currently, we are having 122 churches.
Wow.
Countrywide. It is largely populated in the southern part of Malawi.
Okay.
Of course, we have other churches to the north and south.
Okay.
So because the first missionaries first arrived in the south,
yeah,
and that's why people heard the message first, yeah, first and turned to the Lord, mm-hmm, and thereby, you know, evangelizing other people that, yeah, came across them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very
cool. That day they met along the way.
So 122 churches. How many, yes, people, how many believers are a part of that?
We are 9,000.
Wow.
500. It's close to 10,000,
wow,
believers.
That's a lot of people.
Countrywide.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And we are pleased that God is working.
Yeah.
He's at work in Malawi.
Amen. Amen. So,
yeah.
Are most of the churches, are they in a city? Are they more rural in a village? What does it look like?
The major population of the churches is in the rural areas,
yeah,
and in the district.
Okay.
In the district, which are more urban than other areas. When you say rural areas in Malawi, we talk of even those districts.
Oh, okay.
And the administrative part of the district.
Okay.
But when you say town, we mean the cities only. So we have three cities.
Okay.
You know, so in the city, we have the churches.
And what are your three major cities?
Blantyre in the south.
Okay.
Lilongwe in the center, which is also the capital city. And then Nzuzu in the north.
Okay.
Yes.
So Blantyre sounds very British, and the other two do not. So there's British history, right? There is,
sure,
of colonialism, right? That's a major,
exactly,
part of Malawi. Yeah.
Exactly. Blantyre was named after the village where Dr. David Livingstone was born in Scotland.
In Scotland. So
yes,
it's named after a Scot.
Exactly. It's a village. It's a town. When we first say a village, yeah, maybe you may not understand it well, but I can say it's a town,
yes,
in Scotland. So when David Livingstone came to Blantyre, to Kabula, it was known as Kabula,
okay,
in the past.
Yeah.
And then when he saw the village, he was very happy. He said, okay, this is now Blantyre.
Wow. What an interesting mixture then to have, you know, these cities that are named after in Chichewa and others,
yes,
that are in English. You know, what an, yes, interesting mixture.
Well, it is very interesting. Actually, many of the tribes in Malawi, they don't speak English.
At all. Okay.
They speak their own tribal languages.
Yeah.
Of course, English is an official language in the,
sure,
offices.
Yeah.
It's a mode of communication,
yeah,
in the for many people in the offices.
Yeah.
But Chichewa is the second. It's a native language, then it's second.
Wow. And so when did Malawi get its, I mean, was it under British rule for a,
sure,
period of time? Until,
sure,
when did it gain independence?
It was in 1964 on 6th July.
Wow, 1964.
Yeah, sure.
So that's not that, that doesn't feel like that's that long ago.
It's not long.
Yeah, wow.
But America is long.
That's wonderful.
Sure. It was on 6th July 1964. By then, Malawi was not necessarily under the British rule.
Yeah.
It was what was called British Protectorate.
Okay, yeah.
So the British wanted to protect the Malawians from the slave traders,
okay,
Arab slave traders. So the British say this is our protectorate.
Protectorate, okay.
Yes, but the governors were from Britain.
Really? So the governor of Malawi was from Great Britain?
Yes, they were all, wow, white people.
Wow. Until 1964, when all that changed.
Even after 1964.
Yeah?
When Malawi began to fight for independence,
uh-huh,
what they did was to take a black man and make him a prime minister. But the governor was still British.
Really?
Until 1971.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Between 1968 and 1971.
What a fascinating history. It's such a reminder of the challenges that African countries face in this day and age and trying to figure out how to connect in and hold their own traditional heritage, but also having this colonial presence that,
sure,
really changed, you know, the makeup of it. Wow.
Sure, sure. Of course, we say we are independent, but the education there is British standard.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, wow. Of course, there are some areas where Malawi has penetrated a lot, but we still learn British English.
Wow. Incredible.
Because there are so many people who are admiring American language, American English.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. It's a history that there are good things. I mean, being a protectorate, you know, being protected from the slave trade was a huge,
yep,
benefit.
Exactly.
But there's also a lot of negative things that come with that too. And so,
no,
I mean,
right,
I appreciated the way you shared that yesterday, that it's,
yes,
the good and bad. Like,
yep,
it's not all bad, but it's also not all good.
Sure, sure.
There's a lot of both in there. So let's talk about your churches. If I were to come visit,
yes,
one of your churches,
yes,
what would a service look like? What could I expect?
Right. When you get to let's say to my church.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I am ministering at the church at the Ministry Center.
Okay.
Which is church headquarters in Malawi.
Okay. So you're at the headquarters, the main offices is where your church is.
Yes. And that's I am a resident pastor there as,
yes,
well. You will expect the intercession.
Okay.
You will expect choirs from the Sunday school.
Oh, wow.
Kids as well as the youth.
Okay.
You expect to hear songs from the women group.
Yep.
And some choruses.
Wow.
You will expect to worship with us in praise and worship song. We sing praise and worship songs.
Yeah, like choruses.
Yeah. But if it is time to preach, there is what we call a certain segment in the program.
Okay.
Where we sing on the praise and worship songs.
Oh, okay.
In this part, we expect people to just praise God, you know, exhorting him.
Yeah, yeah.
For who he is.
Yeah.
And for what he has done.
Yeah.
In our lives.
Very cool.
In the Malawi, in the church, in their families. Wow. And then after the praise and worship, then a speaker steps on the pulpit.
Okay.
And begin to
now, praise. How long does a normal church service last in Malawi?
Normally, it's 2 hours.
2 hours, okay.
Yeah, we expect it to finish by 12 o'clock in the afternoon. We start from, for example, 9:30.
Okay.
To 12 o'clock.
Okay, so that's...
And everything is done.
Yeah, wow. You get all of that in there. All of the choirs, all of the music, all the preaching done in 2 hours.
Sure. It's possible.
That's awesome.
Sometimes the services are led by, you know, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
There are times that you feel like, you know, you feel ecstasy. You feel, you know, joy inside you. People feel like, no, this is not the time that we should finish the service.
Yes.
And you look the response from the congregation and during the time of for praying for the sick and the afflicted.
Yeah.
And you see God working by delivering the people. Yeah. You see that. So it's like we let God lead the service.
Yes.
So sometimes it's 12:30.
Yeah.
Or maybe to 1.
Yeah.
You know,
and your church is used to that. They're okay with that.
Sure.
That's wonderful.
Exactly.
Exactly. I think sometimes in the United States, we want to get out when we get out. Like, this is the time, you know, we're looking at our watches. So
yes.
I love that you allow the Spirit to lead where the Spirit leads.
Exactly. That's exactly. Good. And when that time comes, everybody knows, today is a special day.
Today is a special day.
And when I tell them that you have to spare this day special for the Lord.
Yeah.
You have worked for 6 days.
Yeah.
Now it's time, let's pray.
Yeah.
It's time, let's enjoy the fellowship.
That's
Why are you rushing? Going home? For what? And everybody said, yes, for what? You know. But when you come, no, we will treat you as a visitor.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
And we will make sure that within our time frame, we are done in everything.
Man, I hope that I get a chance to come and visit you. That sounds wonderful.
Most welcome.
So outside of like a Sunday service,
yes.
The church is involved in a lot of other activities as well.
Yes.
Tell us about some of that. I mean, I know for one thing, you're here because there's a Children of Promise meeting.
Exactly.
That's happening because you're the Children of Promise director.
Exactly.
So a big part of the ministry is Children of Promise and supporting. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this on another podcast, but it's supporting kids, helping to make wholeness possible for children around the world. So what else does the church involve them?
Okay. We have group of women, which visit the needy people on Wednesdays.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's led by my wife. So what they do is they buy things that people can't afford.
Yeah.
Those that are very needy, like they buy the soap tablets, they buy some drinks, you know, others buy clothes.
Yeah.
And they buy some of them buy like relish, you know, and so many things.
Yeah.
They also contribute some funds to give to the needy people.
Wow.
So every Wednesday they have that program.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was not my initiative. It is their own initiative.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I just encouraged them. I said, well, go ahead.
That's awesome.
And this is what we call saving the people.
So every Wednesday, a group of ladies is actually tangibly bringing gifts and things that are needed to people in the community.
Sure. And even during the like Christmas.
Yeah.
During the Passover, Easter, I have a certain church in Eastern Malawi where this church is very innovative. Mm-hmm. You know, they plan to buy, you know, a special meal for other people who don't usually have the meal.
Wow. For that special occasion.
Yes, for that special occasion.
Wow.
So they invited even non-believers to come.
Oh, that's very
to the church.
Yeah.
You know, and then they handed over the meals to them.
Wow.
And they had a fellowship together.
That's awesome.
And they ate together.
That's awesome.
And they sent me the photos. I said, wow, So you are teaching me something. Huh? not just because you are a leader, then you know everything. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that thing, then I admired something from our leaders at the grassroots level.
That's awesome.
They're doing a lot of things.
That's awesome.
Good things, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So what else outside of some of the ministries you were talking about, what are some of the other things that are going on in Malawi?
Oh, thank you very much. There at the ministry center, at the ministry headquarters, we have the offices. We have what we call, a 3 hectares of land that we bought when we first had a missionary with the help from some friends from Michigan.
Yeah.
We bought the land and built the building that we have. We have the church, 4 classrooms, the office block, as well as the house where I am putting up now.
Yeah.
And then we are in the process of building the dormitories.
Oh wow, yeah.
Yeah, 3 dormitories, because we noted that when the people come for General Assembly,
yep,
or for Executive Council, they sleep on the floor.
Oh yeah.
You know, others slept outside with the children, women sleeping outside with children.
Mm.
And, in the month of June, it's winter in Malawi.
Yeah, that's cold.
And
it's been chilly here. It's been surprising
exactly,
how cold it is.
And imagine sleeping outside wow. with a baby.
Yeah.
You know, where I said, wow, let's have vision.
Yeah.
Let's plan for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is coming up.
Very cool. So you're in the process of building these hostels.
Yes. It hasn't started yet, but we are planning to build it soon.
That's wonderful.
So when the resources have been realized, gathered, then
yep.
yeah.
That's awesome.
You're ready to go.
And how often does your General Assembly meet?
Well, according to our constitution,
yeah,
we are supposed to meet once in 5 years.
5 times a year?
No, once in 5 years.
Oh, 1 time in every 5 years.
Yeah. But we have other executive council meetings. Okay. Where we have the district pastors, we have the regional pastors.
And how often do you have those meetings?
That's every year.
Every year, okay.
Every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And others, come for what we call refresher courses.
Okay. So you do like some training there
some
as well.
Some trainings, yes. Even to those who are already pastors. You know, it's like, building the capacity.
Yeah.
You know, and learning from each other and auditing ourselves. Where are we failing? And how should we do better?
And how many pastors do you have in Malawi? Do you know the number? It's
We have, in total, we have 118. Because some other churches, they are existing, but they are led by the church leaders. Yes.
Yeah.
For example, there is one church that I used to go.
Okay.
In the minister.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am a pastor for 2 churches.
For 2 churches.
Yeah, in Blantyre.
Wow.
Yes.
So 100. You said 118.
Yes, 118.
Wow, that's incredible.
Pastors, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So having continuous training, that's incredibly important for pastors. The
exactly.
connection and the support for one another. That's,
yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that some of your churches are rural and some of them are urban.
Yes.
Do all of your churches have buildings, or where are they meeting, and what does that look like?
Not all churches have the buildings. We have others that are permanent.
Okay.
Like when I say permanent, I mean they are built using the burned bricks.
Okay.
Of course, the mortar is mud,
mm-hmm.
but on top, we manage to support them with the iron sheets.
Okay.
So we count that as a permanent infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah.
And but there are some that were built by the mud bricks without cement, without anything, and it's thatched by grass.
Yeah,
So those are not permanent ones, because every year they suffer because they leak.
Yeah.
So what do we do is to temporarily help them with the plastic sheeting, a black sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that they should cover the roof.
Keep it waterproof.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. But what happens is that when the rats have made holes,
yeah,
when rain comes,
it does not keep the rain.
The water
out.
Trickles down
yeah.
on the wall, making the wall weak.
Yeah.
Wet. It's susceptible for collapsing.
Yeah.
Collapsing.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the main challenge that we
that's
have.
A big need to try to make sure that people have a safe place where they can meet as
is,
a church.
So as a church, what we did was to make sure that every year we support maybe 2 churches
okay.
with iron sheets. They build they move the bricks themselves,
okay.
burn them, construct them.
Yep.
What we do is we support with the roof.
Oh, that's very
from
cool.
From the tithes that we collect. from the offering that we give.
So like, you expect your churches to kind of build the foundation. They
have to
give something to make this church happen.
Exactly.
But then you help finish it off for them.
Yes, yes, because the roofing sounds a little bit expensive.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, help make sure that it's going to last for a period of time.
Exactly.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. $1,000, they'll be able to erect a roof, including buying the lumbers.
Wow.
Trusses.
Yeah.
$1,000.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And a number of, I mean, rain is a big deal. You're talking about, I mean, covering roof, but rain is a big deal. And you've experienced a lot of rain recently.
Yes.
Mm. You know, one of the things that we were sharing on our Facebook, at Global Strategies Facebook, is the amount of flooding that's been happening in Malawi. And that's caused a real crisis in your country.
Yep.
Can you talk about what happened, what led to the flooding?
Well, what led to the flooding were the cyclones.
Yeah.
We had two cyclones this year in January, and the other one came in early March.
So we're talking about January 2022. Just
2022,
and
then yes.
March of 2022.
And March 2022, yes. First, we had what we call Cyclone Anna,
okay,
which brought actually torrential rainfall.
Yeah.
It never stopped, kept raining for almost 2 weeks.
Wow.
And that led to the rivers swelling up, causing the flash floods,
mm-hmm.
cutting the roads,
yeah,
houses falling, and many people died.
Wow.
People were awash and their bodies were no longer found.
Wow.
Some of the, you know, even the vehicles, were awash.
Wow.
See, in the place where we have a high population of the churches, that's in the south, especially in the two districts in the very end of Malawi, that's in the southern, we are cut off. Actually, the road was cut.
Like there was so much rain that the road to get between, to get back was totally cut off.
Was totally cut off. And you know what? There were patients in the district hospitals in those two districts.
Yeah.
Which need the referral. So the referral is in Blanta, where we have a major hospital.
Yeah.
And there was no way you can transport the patient from those district hospitals to the referral hospital.
Wow. They even just like for like normal people, it was for like the hospitals. I mean, all of the roads were just gone.
All the roads. And even the companies were affected, most especially sugar company.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was affected because their fields were covered by mud. Yeah. There was, is it like a mud slide? Something like mud slide?
Yeah.
Yeah, that came there as well.
Wow.
It's So
that was the first one in January.
That was the first one in January. And the second one also was a worse. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when the government, when Anna, Cyclone Anna hit Malawi and the road was cut, the government tried to fix it temporarily. Mm. But when another cyclone came, the road was cut again.
Wow.
It was cut off again. So people were kept in the camp that were erected by the United Nations.
Okay.
Yeah, and other, you know, international community.
Okay.
That came and helped.
So people obviously lost their homes then if they were staying
everything
in the camp.
Everything.
Wow.
Everything. Their kettle, their beddings, their utensils.
Wow.
And everything, even the schools were washed away. So they were kept, you know, at the upper land, mm-hmm. where there were those tents. So we can say there was nothing good that was retrieved.
And how many people did this affect? Do you know how many people were affected by either in the Church of God or even outside the Church of God? How many people
were together we are not more than 9,000.
Okay.
Yeah, they were between 8,000 and 9,000.
That were affected?
That were affected.
That's Church of God people?
Church of God people were also included there.
Okay, included.
They were 2,000.
Okay, 2,000.
2,000, between 2,000 and 2,500 members.
But between 8,000 and 9,000 total that lost
their home. That's right, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, sure.
That's, to think of even, I mean, to think about 8,000 to 9,000, but to think about 2,000 people that would go to church. I mean, to think about people in the church with me and have 2,000 Church of God people lose their home, that's astounding.
Well, it was a huge blow.
Yeah.
Quite a huge blow.
How did the church, I mean, was the church able to react or do anything to be supportive in that situation? Or
Exactly. We appreciate the support that was sent to the church in Malawi, which helped a lot to help the victims.
Yeah.
More especially, the pressing need was the food.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the plastic sheet or or some of the utensils. No, because remember, their dwellings were full of water.
Yeah.
So you can't give him an iron sheet.
Yeah.
What is he going to do with the iron sheet? Just keep it. but he needed the food.
Yes.
So what we did was, well, to see the need, and we raised, we talked with the district commissioner also.
Okay.
To allow us to help, and he was the one who was directing us what we could do. So he said, no, the most pressing need now is food.
It's food.
But when the floods have receded, you can think of another
about
help.
About rebuilding, like, and those
kind of things. Exactly.
So do you think that will be the next step? We'll be helping people rebuild? And how far in the future is that? Are you starting to rebuild now, or will you be rebuilding in the fall? Or?
Yeah, this is now the time that they have to start building.
Yeah.
But I have a photo of a woman mooding the bricks along.
Wow.
You know, so that she should erect the building.
So they're again, yes, like you were saying, they're molding and firing their own bricks.
Yeah.
So they can rebuild their home.
Not firing. Because,
oh, not firing at all.
Oh, no, because they have to find money and buy the trees.
Oh, yeah.
So that they should cut and make fire out for the
So just regular
bricks.
mud bricks.
Mud bricks, yes.
Wow.
That's right.
And will that be sufficient for the next time that rain comes through?
If it is floods, they'll be safe because they will no longer go to the same area.
Okay.
Because it's impossible still now.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So
that part of Malawi is still, you can't.
Yeah. Some of the parts are no longer fit for dwelling, are no longer conducive for dwelling. The whole villages have moved up to another area, relocated by the government.
So to think about an entire village that, because of this flooding, have just up and moved to a new.
Yeah. A new location. Yes. So there, what they can worry about with that kind of building is maybe when there's continuous rainfall.
Yeah.
Or maybe when there's a cyclone again. Yeah. Because, you know, when the war is hit,
yes,
continual, say, for, you say, maybe 4 days.
Yeah.
Then, oh, man.
Those bricks won't.
Actually, I have told you about the villages that were washed away.
Yeah.
But there were other people who were even in the upland.
Yeah.
But because of the continuous rainfall and the cyclone, well, we found out that the walls of the houses were also wet and weak, and they collapsed as well.
Wow. Wow, that's a lot for you as a leader to try to support all of these people. I mean, 2,500, that's a quarter of your churches that were people dealing with really significant issues.
And it was headache giving as well.
Yeah.
Because it's like, where should we start?
Yeah.
You know?
There's so many people to help.
So many people to help.
Yeah.
What should we do?
Yeah.
You know?
So if someone in the United States is saying, man, I'm hearing this story and I'm concerned about my brothers and sisters in Malawi, what can they be doing? How can they be praying for you? How can they support you in this?
Thank you very much. In terms of the support that is sustainable, so first of all, maybe I can advocate for purchasing of maybe fertilizer bags.
Okay.
Yeah, because there are people have come up with nothing. They've come out of that particular situation with nothing.
Yeah.
So preparing them for the next season.
Yep.
Maybe they can find, you know, we can buy actually maybe fertilizer.
Yeah.
And however, then the seeds.
Yeah.
Fast maturing seeds.
So they can create their own garden.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is, in Malawi, people depend mostly on raising animals.
Yeah.
What they do is they have goats, other people have goats. So that in terms of need, they can sell that and find money to buy the fertilizer in the future.
Yeah. Yep. You know, and one of the things is people in the United States, if you want to be involved in supporting the work in Malawi, one way you can do that is by giving to the Disaster Relief Fund.
Yeah.
Because through that, we're able to do some of these things, you know, the feeding that happened, and hopefully some of these other options will be things that we can do in the future. And certainly there's going to be rebuilding that's going to happen.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
However we can be supportive, we want to help those communities find resources they need.
If it is urgent, then we can talk about the plastic paper, plastic sheet. Because as I'm saying, they are just rebuilding. So plastic sheet will also help, but temporarily.
Yeah.
But in the future, well, God willing, if there will be more resources, then we'll be able to maybe purchase some iron sheets.
Yeah.
For them. For the house.
You know, one of the questions we ask a lot on this podcast, the podcast is called A World of Good. You've just shared a lot of really hard things that are happening in Malawi.
Yeah.
But what good is God doing that you can point to and tell us a story about?
Oh, well, I didn't expect what I saw during the Easter prayers.
So this would have been just after the second cyclone.
After the precarious situation.
Yeah.
With the floods hitting the people, yeah. People losing their items, their animals, yeah. Their houses.
Everything.
What we planned with my fellow leaders was, let's have Easter prayers in the area.
Okay.
A strategic area where people from even the affected areas can come.
Oh, wow.
And attend the prayers.
So knowing that they may not be able to get to their churches, yes. May have been washed away. You wanted to go,
yes.
To a location where they could still be a part of this, yes. Easter service.
Exactly. Wow. So we did that, and it was a massive turn up.
Wow.
You know, had almost 2,000 something people coming together.
Wow, just for the Easter service.
Exactly, and with 40 pastors present.
Wow.
I tell you, God did what he was doing, what he can do.
Wow.
Did the Lord to our church. And, you know, there was breakthrough, deliverance,
wow.
Taking place, manifestation of the evil spirits, and
yeah.
People were set free. And I tell you what, I'm still receiving the messages, phone calls of the people being healed.
Wow.
On the same day, on this day. And we had baptism, where we baptized 136 people.
136 people.
136 people. And we had a Holy Communion.
Wow.
Together. It was powerful. And you know what? Some people, even from Brantford, 236 people, said, no, we will go together with you.
Oh, wow. So they didn't go to their Easter service. They came with you.
They came with me, and they had the vehicles, free trucks,
uh-huh.
The 15-ton trucks. People use them.
Okay.
Escorted me, and we had a path service.
Wow.
So I don't count it as a small blessing.
Yeah.
It is a big blessing.
Well, I just think that's so neat that on Easter, which is a really important holiday. Yeah. I mean, it's a really important part of our Christian year to celebrate, yeah. That. And after just going through a cyclone, you want to be a part of a service, mm-hmm. Like that. But mm-hmm. If you weren't able to get to one,
yeah.
This, you were able to give people an opportunity to worship and be, yes. Present in a way they, yes. May not have been able to.
Yeah.
And how cool that God showed up.
It was like a healing to them. It was like, yeah. Emape. Is it a Greek word?
Yeah.
Emape, like a medicine to the wound that they were suffering. Yeah. What I mean is that they were victims of the flooding.
Mm-hmm.
So they lost many things. They needed hope.
Yeah.
So the hope is only in the Lord.
Yeah.
So they needed the word of God. They needed someone who could stand and encourage them.
Wow.
Yeah. So this was like our achievement.
That's incredible, Emmanuel.
Our achievement, sure.
As we think about praying for you and for the, yeah. Church, how can we be praying for you?
Well, thank you very much. Please pray for the pastors in Malawi, mm-hmm. To focus on the Lord and never get tired.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for the leadership of, yeah. The Church of God in Malawi. Pray for the women as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pray for the health of the church,
yeah.
In the country. Because you can see the explosion of evangelism going on. Every time we are invited, every time there's, like, for example, if we had a funeral,
yeah.
Maybe for one of our members, when I am the preacher,
yeah.
When it's my time, you can tell the people that these people are ready for the word. Anyway, it's just like, you know, what we do in Africa.
Yeah.
We preach what we can preach.
Yeah.
And the response from the people is massive.
Wow.
And people forget that it's a funeral. Instead, they repent.
Wow.
Instead, they are convicted and come to the Lord.
Mm.
Yeah. So when that happens, they invite us to go there for another crusade.
Yeah.
After the funeral, then we go to that area again. Boom, we have the crusade.
I love to, yes. Hear that there's an explosion of evangelism.
Yeah.
That's a great phrase. And we will pray that God continues to give you strength and perseverance to continue that road of supporting those communities. And I mean, it's such a joy to get to see you again. I'm grateful that we've met each other a few times, but now we get to sit down and have another conversation. So grateful for the work that you're doing. We love you. We love your family. We love the church in Malawi. And we're praying for you. The Church of the United States is praying for you and the work that you're doing. So thanks for sharing with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here on the podcast. You call it podcast?
Yeah, podcast. That's right. You got it.
and share my story in Malawi with you and all the people that are going to listen to this,
yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah.
I also pray for America.
Thank you.
I hear about shootings there. It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Because America is like what we call a superpower. So these things are not supposed to happen in the superpower, mm-hmm. country. So we stand and We are with you. We are together. We pray for the country.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we need your prayers. We need your prayers. We're in this together.
Sure.
Well, thank you, Reverend Emmanuel. So appreciate this time. And now we can go rest before we start another big day tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
a lot.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter, at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.